ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This iPad, you can see this is on, which means the battery is always running down. This Wi-Fi is on. I'd put it off. I don't know how it came back on again. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 12, text 13 and 14. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukha kshami. You know? You can say? Next line. Santushta satatam yogi yatatna jara nischayaha mayarpita mano buddhir yo mad bhakta sa me priyaha. One who is not envious, Lord Krishna says, one who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Purport. Coming again to the point of pure devotional service, the Lord is describing the transcendental qualifications of a pure devotee in these two verses. A pure devotee is never disturbed in any circumstances, nor is he envious of anyone. Nor does a devotee become his enemy's enemy. He thinks, this person is acting as my enemy due to my own past misdeeds, so it is better to suffer than to protest. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Tatenu kampang su samik shamarno bhunjana evatma kritang vipakam. Whenever a devotee is in distress or has fallen into difficulty, he thinks that it is the Lord's mercy upon him. He thinks, thanks to my past misdeeds, I should suffer far, far greater than I am suffering now. So it is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that I am not getting all the punishment I am due. I am just getting a little by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is always calm, quiet, and patient, despite many distressful conditions. A devotee is also always kind to everyone, even to his enemy. Nirmama means that a devotee does not attach much importance to the pains and trouble pertaining to the body, because he knows perfectly well that he is not the material body. He does not identify with the body, therefore he is free from the conception of false ego and is equipoised in happiness and distress. He is tolerant and he is satisfied with whatever comes by the grace of the Supreme Lord. He does not endeavor much to achieve something with great difficulty, therefore he is always joyful. He is a completely perfect mystic because he is fixed in the instructions received from the spiritual masters. And because his senses are controlled, he is determined. He is not swayed by false arguments, because no one can lead him from the fixed determination of devotional service. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord. He is fully conscious that Krishna is the eternal Lord, so no one can disturb him. All these qualifications enable him to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. Such a standard of devotional service is undoubtedly very rare, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. Furthermore, the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to him, for the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. Beautiful description of the kind of beautiful personality who is a pure devotee of the all-beautiful personality of Godhead. Krishna consciousness is very attractive. When we read this, we think, Oh, I'd like to live among such people. Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam, not envious to anyone. Maitra Karuna Evacha, always very friendly, always very merciful. Nirmama, Nirahankara, not coveting anything. Not egoistic. We think it'd be very nice to live among such people. And actually, those of us who are fortunate to live among devotees, we do have that great good fortune. We may not always recognize that. We're living with very exalted people, people who at least are trying to come to that standard, although, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is very rare to come to that standard, but it is possible. And even anyone who's trying for that is certainly a very exalted personality, especially in this Kali Yuga, which is full of quarrel and hypocrisy. Of course, we can be realistic also and understand that it's not that everyone who takes a devotional service becomes a completely pure devotee overnight. In fact, most don't, which is why the process of sadhana bhakti is given, the process of gradual purification. So if we go to it's just like going to the hospital. If we complain that devotees are not completely pure, it's something like going to the hospital and saying, well, everyone here is sick. What's wrong with this place? The thing is that they're undertaking the process of curing. They may be sick, but they're on the way to being better. That's a different way to see it. That's something like seeing, is the glass half empty or half full? It depends on our positive or negative perception of it. At the same time, we within this Krishna consciousness movement, we are supposed to be emissaries or acting on behalf of the emissaries of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and spreading Krishna consciousness to every town and village. We have a very great mission. And sometimes it appears that the mission is hampered, not so much by any obstacle imposed by anyone from outside our group or any circumstances, but just by the disagreements among devotees. Sometimes we wonder, why don't we all just get along all the time? I mean, it's not that devotees are always fighting and quarreling, but realistically speaking, there are ideologically and otherwise clear differences between many groups of devotees by which they don't want to cooperate together on different projects. They may join together in a kirtan, but for instance, to develop or to start a preaching project, there may be very different approaches as to how we should preach to others. There may be very different approaches to gender interaction. Some say, well, let all the men and women mix up. Others say, no, let us be more strict. And these are very real issues within our movement at the present time. If we think of the greater mission, we may think, well, why don't we all get along and get on with the job? If we're all actually fair-minded, open-minded, intelligent, sincere, and we're conjointly working to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, then the whole movement should surge forward with the concentrated and combined efforts of such empowered devotees. So it seems, why don't we all just come together? Why fight? Why let our differences or our anarthas obstruct the progress of the Krishna consciousness movement? In this regard, I'd like to relate something which a devotee told me a few years ago, not so long ago. He was getting on my case for being contrarian, for having an outlook contrary on some issues, having an outlook contrary to that which most leaders of the movement, it seems, in North America especially, have on various social issues. So he was of the opinion that, although he didn't actually use these words, but that I'm something of a troublemaker, unnecessarily creating friction. And he cited an incident of himself being with a devotee friend on a stage or whatever, or at a speaking function. This devotee friend of his was taking yoga classes and introducing middle-class Americans to Krishna, or chanting the holy names at least, chanting the holy names of Krishna via the medium of, or bringing them in by teaching them physical yoga exercises. So this yoga teacher, devotee, was looked up to by the people in his class. Or I don't know how much they looked up to him, because how much does any American look up to anyone else anywhere in the world, unless they're a good baseball player or something like that. But anyway, he told them, speaking to this other devotee who was speaking to me, that, well, whatever I know that I can teach you, it's all due to him. I'm very grateful to him. And then the devotee who was speaking to me praised the devotee who was the yoga teacher. And the people who were present thought that this is very nice, that people are praising each other genuinely, genuine feeling for each other. And the devotee who was getting on my case said that, I want to be in a society like that, where I can look up to my seniors and see that they have genuine appreciation and love for each other. So he's getting on my case for myself, getting on the case of others. Interestingly, he said this in front of others who are my disciples, so he didn't seem to mind that he was doing just the opposite in with me. He didn't praise me in front of others to give a good impression to my disciples. Anyway, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with anyone who's pointing out any what we perceive to be problems in the Krishna consciousness movement? Why don't we just love everyone, Advaishta Sarva Bhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha, be a good friend to everyone, be very kind to everyone. What's wrong with us? Santushta Satatam Yogi, why are we not satisfied in all circumstances? Well, there are issues. The Sadbhavana is a term commonly used in Hindi language. Politicians sometimes use it when they go in areas that are stricken by Hindu-Muslim violence or Muslim-Hindu violence. They bring out a Sadbhavana Morcha. They say Sadbhavana. Of course, politicians themselves are not famous for being very kind to others. But although they may make a good show of it, Sadbhavana means good feeling. What makes you feel good. So that is definitely a very important consideration. Advaishta, we don't hate anyone. We don't want to be nasty to anyone unnecessarily. Or is there such a thing as being necessarily nasty? Well, there can be. The whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the kind-hearted Arjuna, and Krishna told him, no, be nasty, go and kill. Krishna didn't want to kill. Of course, we are not enjoined to physically kill others, But there is right and wrong. There is that which should be done and that which should not be done. And within a spiritual society like ours, there may be deviations. Srila Prabhupada used this term. It's practically sure that there will be politics. Yeah, even among spiritually minded people, because Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter that whenever there is a group of men together, there will be politics. What does that mean? Does that mean there are no pure-hearted people? Politics is not good. It means trying by various, not very straightforward means to gain an advantage over others. Even if one thinks that one is justified in doing so, if one takes to underhand means, that's not very saintly. But then it may be seen, well, there's no other way to do it. Human life is very complex. That's for sure. And even though a devotee is enjoined to be simple-minded in the sense that we simply see Krishna and we have to serve Krishna, we have to serve the devotees, but the nature of this world is that it is very complex. And if we want to do anything in this world, we have to deal with all different kinds of people. And we do want to do something in this world. We want to spread the blissful movement of Harinam Sankirtan to every town and village. Of course, we, at least I can speak for myself, a very small being, but we want to play our part. We're told to, that we should play our part. We should do something. Do what we can in this great mission. So that means dealing with people, and in the modern age we're talking about properties and money and manpower and inevitably politics. Unfortunate but true. But our aim should be to see what is right and what is wrong according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the authorities of the present, our spiritual master, all the great spiritual masters of the past, the scripture, Vedic scripture, Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. With reference to this, we should understand what is right, what is not right. And act accordingly. So it may be said that, well, by pointing out or saying things which are not dear to others, that we're causing friction. But then we may see that things are being done or policies are being enacted which they're not in line with Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Srila Prabhupada, he made a point to inform us, his disciples, about his dissatisfaction with his own godbrothers. At the same time, he taught us to not disrespect them. It's a pretty difficult task to understand that they were not behaving, some of them, or many of them, were not behaving in a properly Vaishnav manner towards Srila Prabhupada. They didn't respect him. He's told us they were envious of him. At the same time, we were told not to disrespect them. So it's a bit of a mental juggling act to be able to do that. But in some ways, it's more difficult now because at least Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were in different institutions. And what they did, we could, within their own institution, or what they said, it was all outside of what we were doing. But we're here within ISKCON when we have disagreements, then it's all within the house. And I can understand everybody saying, well, I'd love to see all our leaders together, just like children. They become very reassured and feel very secure and safe when they see their parents together, not fighting with each other. The children also become very disturbed when they see, if they see their parents fighting. So we can understand that juniors may be disturbed if they see seniors fighting. So we may say, well, then we should keep the disagreements between seniors, keep it private. But then again, that may be very difficult, in as much as policies in if we refuse to follow certain policies which are given by leaders, then we have to tell others why we're doing that and why we think they should also not follow that policy, or why we disagree with that. So it does come out in the open, and it will affect others. And is it avoidable? I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. There are different understandings of what it means to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. So what's the solution? Then we all follow the GBC. But then what if the GBC itself enacts policies that some of us, in all sincerity and with all recourse to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, take to be wrong, actually not favorable for the mission, or what if we perceive that the GBC or members thereof are not behaving properly or are political? Then what do we do? And it becomes very difficult. I'm obliged to point out to my disciples the path given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And if the GBC contradict that, it's my duty. My duty is first and foremost to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, rather than to a GBC body, the members of whom itself would themselves say that they themselves wouldn't deny that there's politics. I can't just say the GBC is right when historically, time after time, they've been seen to be wrong. So these are some of the realistic difficulties. Advaishta sarva bhutanam. We all want to be very nice, but does nice mean simply smiling at? Well, that's what politics, isn't it? That's what politics is: smiling at others and then stabbing them in the back, or just being nice to make a show of being nice when actually we don't like others. Or straightforwardness also has its, it's also a quality. Now, sometimes I and certain others are labeled as being conservatives, and generally in the world press today, people of liberal-minded, who are called the liberal-minded outlook, they're seen to be open-minded, fair, desirous of the good of others, helping the oppressed, whereas forward-looking, progressive, these are terms connected with liberals, and persons like myself, who are deemed to be conservative, are thought to be restrictive, exploitive, old-fashioned, out-of-date, authoritarian and so many bad adjectives are ascribed simply put, conservative is bad, liberal is good. It's simply that. But the whole transmission of knowledge and culture is supposed to be preserving what is there, what is old. Just to give a simple example, let's get off the theoretical level a bit here. That myself and others within ISKCON who are known to be or called conservative, we do not subscribe to the modern idea of equality in all respects and free mixing between males and females. It's a simply put issue. There should be restriction. Yes, conservatives are restrictive, and that is seen as bad. But is restriction always bad? Just like, for instance, I can remember when, as a child, I used to go to the Catholic Church, and the men would be on one side and the women on one side of the church. They wouldn't all mix up. And then gradually, after Vatican II, then men and women mixed up in the church. Was it better when there was a restriction or better afterward? Well, I would say it was better when there was a restriction, because we go to church to pray to God, not to mix up men and women. That you can do elsewhere, although a conservative person would say, no, why mix up men and women anywhere, anytime, especially not in the house of God? But men and women have their roles in society, and although the sexual aspect is there, it should not be exacerbated. Any serious religionist in any culture can understand that men and women don't mix freely. And that if we're to have a religiously oriented culture, then women and young girls, they don't dress in very tight and revealing clothing and go jump around publicly showing off their bodies in the name of spiritual ecstasy. Anyone can understand. You don't have to be a Hare Krishna like me, or anyone can understand, which is why at the present time Muslims the world over are known, although not all of them do it, the women dress in burqas or nijabs, they cover. There's a reason for that. But those who are liberal-minded are against that. So there's a division there within our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, within the secular society, within religious societies. Those who are more traditional or conservative will say, no, we have to keep the fever low, the fever of lust. Sexual union is allowed in most religious traditions, and those that don't allow it, they die out pretty soon. It's allowed, but for the sake of procreation. It's not something to be increased that causes so many problems. It's a powerful human emotion, so keep it under control. Otherwise, if it goes out of control, so much crime, so much violence, so many problems in human society when lust is increased. So it's a simple point to understand, but persons like myself who are more in favor of more restriction in this regard than liberality. We are bad-mouthed or spoken of badly for that. And of course, not just dress, but behavior, social roles. Is the role of a woman out there in the midst of everyone, or is her most important role as a mother? I wrote a book about that. The GBC very kindly made a resolution saying what a horrible book it is, without even any of them even reading it. So this is called politics. It would be nice if there was all around Advaishta Sarvabhutanam, kindness to everyone. Now, what about the issue of homosexuality? This is another very tough one, it seems, in the modern age. Although why it has to be so difficult, why it has to be such a big issue, I don't really know, because it's not that there are so many homosexuals. There are a few of them here and there. If they want to do that, then they're doing it anyway. But why a big show? Why they have to stand out for their rights and this and that? It's even if you subscribe to the theory of evolution, but Darwinian evolution, which we don't, it's not. It doesn't work because it doesn't produce children. Anyway, there's absolutely nothing socially productive. It doesn't produce children. It has no function except, the homosexual act has no function except to give some kind of bestial pleasure to those who are involved. Therefore, spiritually minded people do not promote that. That doesn't mean we hate homosexuals. I remember seeing, this was many years ago in Dubai, one woman brought to me her son. He was about 20 years old, and just by seeing him, you could see he was a homosexual. You could see he was mentally tortured because he just didn't fit in. He told me, I know that this isn't right, but what to do? What can I do? I just feel very bad. He was somehow, he would had that inclination. What's the antidote to that? Then brazen homosexuals of today would say, why feel bad about it? Feel good about it. Do it. But we have to see in terms of spiritual advancement. How is our spiritual advancement going to be fostered by indulging in a bestial act that has no sanction in scripture? Heterosexuality, that can also be called bestial because the animals also do it. But that can be channeled within family life for producing children. And it's family life, married life means very responsible life. It's not just for having sex like animals. So these are issues which face society today, which face our Vaishnav society, as we are propagating spiritual advancement in a world which is increasingly promoting values that drag human beings down to the level of raw animalistic lust. And it's come to such a point that to even speak against the idea of women being equal in all respects, or that homosexuals should be lauded as some kind of super beings, you can't say anything against them, then there's something wrong with you. So it is, these are, they're not difficult issues to understand, but they're difficult issues to deal with in a world which is Especially the Western world is so much upside down in its misunderstandings of the purpose of human life. For them, the purpose of human life is simply to enjoy the senses. And they don't want any restriction on that. And if you want to enjoy it as a homosexual, good. They think it's very good. Mm-hmm. But we as a spiritual society, or society that's supposed to be promoting higher values of life, we don't stand for that. We don't hate anyone. Advaishta sarva bhutanam. But at the same time, we have to see what is right and what is wrong. So this advaishta sarva bhutanam, not being envious of anyone who is a kind friend to all, but being a kind friend to all doesn't necessarily mean indulging everyone in whatever they want to do. If so, then what is the meaning to our trying to practice and preach the message of Bhagavad Gita, in which Lord Krishna clearly says, pravritting cha, nivritting cha, janana vidura suraha, that which is proper action and improper action, persons who are of demoniac nature, they do not know the difference. They may take a dharma, a religion to be a religion and vice versa. A dharmam dharma iti ya manyase tamasavrita. Persons in the lowest level of consciousness, they take non-religion to be religion. Hare Krishna. Have some problem there? I finished. You have some problem? No. The sun suddenly went behind a cloud, and then you put your hand. Oh, you were telling me I should stop. Okay, I stopped. Too long. But actually, today, since I got up, I'm feeling more energy, which is good. But I don't want to push it. Okay, fine, finished. Another of those controversial talks. Said it all before.